Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/marketplace, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/marketplace now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/marketplace.
In which the theme of the program is why. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace. In Los Angeles, I'm Kai Rizdahl. It is the 22nd day of November. This one's a Tuesday. Good as always to have you along, everybody. All right, so look, let's call this the day of the three whys, shall we? Why is this happening? This being the key variable here. Variable number one, and hence why number one on the program today. W-H-Y, by the way, just because this is radio and that can be tough. Anyway, variable number one, why number one is gold. Someone or something is buying a lot of it right now, 400 tons of it in the third quarter. That's $20 billion worth, give or take, at today's price. And it's double the amount that changed hands in the second quarter. All of this, according to the World Gold Council. Central banks bought a quarter of that total, but the rest, we don't know. A country or countries and why? Marketplace's Sabri Benishore is on the case.
When Ken Kuttner used to work at the New York Federal Reserve Bank back in the 90s, he sometimes got to go to the basement.
Buried deep in the Manhattan Granite was a gold vault. And there were, if I remember correctly, about 800,000 bars of gold in our basement.
One time he got to pick one up, it was super heavy.
And behind the main set of bars were a whole set of cages, and each cage belonged to different countries. And so if country X wanted to transfer gold to country Y, one of the guys down in the gold vault would open the cage, take out some bars of gold, wheel it around in a dolly, and then take it over to the cage for country Y.
Kuttner's a professor of econ at Williams College now, but by the time he left the Fed in 2003, a quarter of those gold bars were gone. No, there was not some heist. It's just that central banks had sold off a lot of it.
Well, gold really, it doesn't earn any interest, for one thing.
Banks preferred U.S. treasuries. They earn interest and they're easier to sell. This move away from gold was the trend for many years. Jeffrey Christian is managing partner of CPM Group.
There may be two dozen or fewer central banks that are buying gold. And then there are other central banks that are not buying gold, maybe 160 of them.
At this point, most countries' gold reserves, he says, are just residue from an age decades ago when the world was on the gold standard.
You know, most of these central banks still have like, you know, only 1 to 5 or 10% of their reserves in gold.
But since 2008, Christian says, while most central banks have been selling gold or not bothering with it, a few have been buying it up and then some. There are a few reasons gold could be useful. Central banks can use it to control their currency's value or use it to pay for imports during a crisis. Joe Gagnon is a senior fellow at the Peterson Institute.
Another reason is if you have trouble paying off your foreign debts, you know, having some reserves could come in handy.
But reason number one right now, Gagnon says, is
avoiding sanctions.
If a country holds U.S. treasuries, the U.S. can seize those treasuries. See Russia. Gold in a vault at home is safe. So whoever is buying all that gold, Gagnon thinks it's Russia, others suspect China, may be doing it to escape the long arms of the U.S. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore for Marketplace.
Spot gold today in New York, should you be curious, pretty much unchanged, $1,754 an ounce. Equities up a whole bunch. We'll have the details when we do the numbers. It is a firmly held belief of this program that you can talk to experts and analysts all the live long day, which we do a lot. But If you don't also talk to actual people living and working and running businesses in this economy, you are missing most of the story. So to that end, we've gotten Lori Stewart back on the phone. She's the president of Sound Community Bank up in Seattle. Lori, it's good to talk to you again.
Well, it's great to talk to you again.
So look, how is, or I guess, what is the banking vibe up in your neck of the woods these days?
Well, definitely the vibe is about higher interest rates, right? And
yeah.
While that is troublesome for borrowers, a lot of anxiety and discussion about what can I afford, whether I'm a consumer or a business. You know, it's a great news story for our savers, and especially those senior savers that have been waiting for several years to get a return on their deposits.
Yeah. Last time you and I spoke, we had a whole conversation about how, interest rates are actually a business issue for y'all, and how you have to sort of figure out, you know, what the competition is doing before you raise or lower your rates. Is that still the case, I assume, even with rates now having gone as high as they've gone, as fast as they've gone?
Yeah, exactly. You know, the business of banking is all about the net interest margin between what you collect from your borrowers and what you pay your depositors. And That's how we pay our staff and our investors and pay the light bill and all of those things. But we have definitely seen a real uptick in demand for deposits. And so rates are very competitive now. And if we think about what's happened to a mortgage loan rate?
Yeah.
And where it's maybe gone, maybe it's doubled. I mean, last week the average mortgage rate was down to 6.61, so that's good news.
Well, say that again. It's down to 6.61.
Yeah, this week the mortgage rates dropped and the average across the country was about 6.61 compared to 7.06 last week.
Right. And look, in January it was like 3%, right? You get a 30-year fix for 3%.
That's totally fair. Yes, it's doubled. Right. But the point I was going to make is that the deposit rates have more than doubled. They're like 1,000 times higher. You asked me about your mom's CD last time we chatted. And
yes, I did.
Yeah, if she called her bank today, at least if she called our bank today, what 6 months ago would have been 0.25% on a 6 month CD is now over 3%. So that's That's real money for savers.
I do owe my mother a phone call, and also she's going to yell at me for talking about her finances on the radio.
Okay, I'm sorry. Apologize for me.
That's all right. What about home buyers walking in the door? Are you seeing demand fall as these rates have gone up? I mean, you must have, right?
Yeah, exactly. People can afford less. You know, this is real money out of your pocket every month. But still in our markets where we do business, inventory is still really skinny. So we haven't seen much price change compared to what might be happening in other markets. In our markets, we just haven't seen price change.
Yeah, no. And the same thing sort of writ large as well. Let me ask you one more thing, and then I'll get out of your hair and let you go back to running the bank. And I'll caveat this by saying you're on the advisory board for the Seattle branch of the San Francisco Fed, right?
Yeah, I'm on the board of directors of the Seattle branch. Yep.
Okay. So with that said, I imagine you could probably, if you pulled some strings, get Jay Powell on the phone. And if you could, what would you tell him?
Oh, you know, I would, I'm thinking carefully here about, you know, my role on that board.
Fair enough.
Here's what I think. I think the Fed has been very transparent about where they're going with monetary policy. And I think they're committed. Everything we read and that Jay Powell says is he's committed to easing inflation. Mm-hmm. And we've saw a modest reduction in inflation and still good consumer spending.
Yeah. Lori Stewart, she runs the Sound Community Bank up in Seattle. Also used to be the president of the ABA. And she sits on the Seattle branch board of directors of the San Francisco Fed. Lori, thanks very much. It's always really good to talk to you.
Hey, thanks. It's always great to talk to you. Call anytime.
I will. Now I have to go deal with my mother.
Okay. Sorry. Good luck.
All right. Bye-bye. Those of us on the outside can't know for sure, but it does seem a safe bet that item number one on the to-do list for once and present Disney CEO Bob Iger is to stop the bleeding at the company's streaming business, Disney Plus most specifically, which we learned a couple of weeks ago lost a cool $1.5 billion in Disney's third quarter. $1.5 billion in 3 months. So, why number two for us today? Why is streaming so hard? Marketplace's Megan McCarty-Carino has that one.
It's a whole new world for streaming these days, says Charles Schrager, a marketing professor at NYU and former HBO executive. After years of chasing growth at any expense, the industry is up against a sobering reality.
Streaming is a terrible business.
He says streamers are now in a bind. They can't count on more subscribers in an already saturated market, but they can't afford to pull back on expensive content either, because competition is fierce.
The consumer's getting used to being able to switch between service and service. All you got to do is press a button and you unsubscribe.
Keeping consumers engaged with new content is especially important to Disney, says Michael Pachter, an analyst with Wedbush Securities.
They have the other competing concern of creating content on Disney Plus that has value beyond Disney Plus.
By pushing business to theatrical releases, theme parks, and merchandising. So if cost cutting isn't a great path to turn a profit,
the quicker fix is raise price.
Which Disney is doing starting December 8th. The cost for Disney Plus will increase from $7.99 to $10.99 a month if you want the service with no ads. Like Netflix, Disney is also rolling out a lower-priced ad-supported tier.
I'm sure it's going to be welcomed by advertisers who are thirsty to infect any sort of entertainment that people enjoy.
Ross Benish is an analyst at Insider Intelligence. He says this trend of higher prices or more ads, you know, the stuff cord cutters were trying to escape, well, it's here to stay.
Streaming is only going to get worse for consumers. The best days are behind us. And that's because everyone has to make money.
That's not exactly a fairy tale ending. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino for Marketplace.
Coming up.
Not just a business decision, but a decision for my overall well-being and health.
Yeah, I hear that. First, though, let's do the numbers. Dow Industrial is up 397 points today, 0.1%. Finished at 34,098. Did the blue chips. The NASDAQ lifted 149 points, 0.3%, 11,174. The S&P 500 up 53 points, 0.3% there as well, 4,003. Lots of attention on streaming services lately, especially with Bob Iger going back to Disney, as Megan was just telling us. The home of multiple Star Wars and Marvel Comics spinoffs saw its stock slip 1.4% today. Netflix, home to Bridgerton and Inventing Anna, rose about 0.5%. As for Roku, which features unconventional home renovation show Murder House Flip, Murder House Flip. Seriously? Also, Weird Al Yankovic's sort of biopic Weird. It shares up 1.3%. Murder House Flip. Come on. Who watches that? Bonds rose. Yield on the 10-year T-note fell to 3.76%. I'm on the record, by the way. Not liking scary things. You're listening to Marketplace.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling shipping supplies or promoting productivity programs, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/marketplace, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/marketplace now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/marketplace.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Ryssdal. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts. This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Ryssdal. Just about 2 months after Hurricane Ian tore into southwest Florida, thousands of people down there are still living in shelters, in FEMA-sponsored hotels, or crashing with friends and family. And as Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports, in an area that was already suffering from an affordable housing crisis, the storm made matters much, much worse.
East Fort Myers is a predominantly African-American and Latino working-class neighborhood on the outskirts of downtown. About a month ago, with cleanup from Hurricane Ian well underway, I jumped in the car for a quick tour.
So you see how close we are to the river? That's Caloosahatchee River.
Abdul Haq Mohammed directs a local community organization called the Quality Life Center. Mohammed points to one side of the street, modest single-family wood frame and mobile homes. Then he points to the other side, modern upscale homes and condos, some with waterfront views.
So the homes are being bought by corporations, out-of-town corporations often, and they're renovated and then put back out on the market at a level that is unaffordable for people in that community.
There's obvious damage to homes on both sides of the street, but it's the renters and mobile homeowners Mohammed is most worried about, because many of them aren't insured and they have some serious rebuilding to do.
As you look down these blocks, you'll see not only debris, but also household furniture. The debris in some areas is about as tall as the houses.
All of their drywall, carpeting, all their cabinets, beds.
Gladys Cook has been assessing damage for the Florida Housing Coalition.
So you know that that house flooded and those people can't live in the home, and there's thousands of people in that situation.
Displaced storm victims face a big challenge, trying to find a new place to live while they're living in temporary shelters or motels or couch surfing with friends and family.
We were already a million units short of affordable housing in Florida before the disaster. And then when you take out are those mobile homes, you're really looking at a long-term problem.
So displaced people are finding their own housing solutions. Melanie Long had to leave the duplex where she was renting after it flooded in the storm. Several weeks ago, she attended a FEMA information session to find out about assistance programs.
It's really hard to lose like 90% of everything you ever own. I mean, it's just gone. And then you think you can go to work for some peace, but you can't because you lost like 90% of your stuff at work.
Long's grateful she has a job. She works for the Fort Myers Redevelopment Agency. She moved in with a friend while she was searching for a new place to rent.
So I looked everywhere in Fort Myers, there was nothing available. And so I looked for a place outside the city, and the waiting lists are long, and there's like, you know, 1,000 people want to rent there.
Okay, you have an issue of a hurricane here, but prior to the hurricane, this momentum was already in motion.
Community organizer Abdul Haq Mohammed says property values have soared in desirable coastal areas like Fort Myers as developers and wealthy home buyers flock here. But he says the area also needs service workers and nearby affordable housing for them. What's it getting instead?
People's rents are constantly going up. It's going to push people out.
Where can they go, though?
Further inland. which now pushes them further away from employment opportunities.
That's Melanie Long's story. She found a new rental, but it's not in Fort Myers, and her commute will be longer.
So I'll be okay. It is more than what I was paying. And you just make, I mean, you got to have a roof over your head, right?
Nearly 2 months after Hurricane Ian hit, FEMA is getting ready to install the first temporary trailers for displaced homeowners in Florida. And the state has just announced a program to provide travel trailers and RVs to homeowners and renters who still need more stable shelter. Reporting from Fort Myers, Florida, I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Why number three on this day of the three marketplace whys comes to us from your local grocery store and the sticker shock you probably felt as you stocked up for Thanksgiving. And you could probably tell me off the top of your head how much you spent, you know, roughly. But let me ask you this. How much did you pay in sales tax? Groceries are exempt from sales taxes in most states, but not everything you buy at the grocery store is technically a grocery. That frozen turkey? No tax. That prepared pumpkin pie? Probably taxed. The marshmallows for the candied yams? Well, that comes down to a very tricky question for the American tax code. Are marshmallows candy? Marketplace's Matt Levin has this Thanksgiving dinner. Why?
The marshmallow industry has two peak seasons.
Summertime for s'mores season, or it's going to be right now going into the holidays.
Dan Reed heads marketing for Dandy's Vegan Marshmallows. You can pick up a pack at Whole Foods for about $5. Well, about $5 if you're in Michigan. If you're in Indiana, that's $5 plus a 7% sales tax. Although you can get marshmallow cream in Indiana tax-free.
Some states can look at a marshmallow as a baking ingredient, whereas another state might look at it as a candy and tax it differently.
Most states don't tax groceries, or at least have a reduced tax on them. The logic is a tax on basic food items would be regressive, says Jared Walczak with the Tax Foundation.
Policymakers decided, okay, if we're going to provide this benefit for groceries, we care about it being like core foods, maybe healthy things, and candy is not a necessity.
But ice cream can have more sugar than a candy bar, and in most states, ice cream gets the tax-free treatment. Plus, how do you define candy in the first place? Rainu Zaretsky is with the Tax Policy Center.
Well, New York is a great example of the weirdness of taxing candy. If a marshmallow is covered in candy or chocolate, that is counted as candy, and you would pay a 4% sales tax.
But if you just buy a pack of mini marshmallows to eat by the handful, the state of New York doesn't see a dime. Zaretsky says it might be easier to just tax food according to how bad it is for you, like a sin tax. Although we want s'mores to cost s'more probably isn't a winning political message. For his part, Dan Reed at Dandy's Vegan Marshmallows says the different tax treatments in different states don't seem to impact sales.
I think a lot of that has to do with how we as shoppers look at taxes. It's sort of an aggregated line item on the receipt.
And these days, plenty of consumers rather not look at the receipt at all. I'm Matt Levin for Marketplace.
Sticking to the theme of Thanksgiving-related sweets, taxable or otherwise, we move now to baklava. The holiday season is a busy time for Rita Magaldi's business. She owns and runs a baklava bakery in Draper, Utah. It's called Sheer Ambrosia. And last time we heard from her, she was about to start a Master of Business Creation program at the University of Utah. Here's the update.
I gushed and gushed all summer long about this amazing program that was going to help me build my business. But, you know, I was a little embarrassed that I had to quit. And I don't think of it as quitting. It was a strategic decision for not just a business decision, but a decision for my overall well-being and health. It would have just been impossible for me to continue on in the program and also continue to run my business, especially during the busy season, which I'm encroaching upon. November and December are the two busiest months of the year. We do probably more than the next 6 months combined. Sheer Ambrosia has had a couple of amazing ladies helping out during the holiday season. This will be the third season. And this year I said, let's figure out how we can continue this throughout the year and not just come in during the holidays. You know, I've never brought anyone in to help me with the business. And the only way I'm going to grow is to have people helping me. I'm going to have to give up some of the, you know, the reins. That NBC program that I was accepted into, I am so glad that I had the opportunity to meet all of those people. And they are confident that I need to get out of my own way. I am the reason why it's not grown up to this point, because I've insisted on doing everything because I'm a perfectionist. It really just instilled in me that I've got something here, and I am going to turn this business into a multi-million dollar business. You mark my words, I'm going to do that. I have people that want to help me make that dream happen. I don't feel alone anymore, and that's huge.
That is Don't Bet Against Her, huh? Rita Magaldi, she owns Sheer Ambrosia in Draper, Utah. This final note on the way out today, of interest, I'm sure, to the millions of people carrying otherwise forgivable federal student loan debt. And I say otherwise forgivable because, as you know, the Biden administration's forgiveness plan is pending a whole bunch of court hearings. Anyway, the White House said today it is extending the pause on repayments and interest of federal student loans. A lot depends on how those lawsuits play out. But right now, it looks like that pause is going to be in place till the end of August of next year. Here is your moment of economic context on the way out, for which I think the appropriate term here is Schadenfreude. Saw this on Bloomberg this morning, that Elon Musk, while still the world's richest person, has, as of yesterday's market close, lost more than $100 billion of net worth. Our digital and on-demand team includes Carrie Barber, Dylan Mietinen, Janet Wynn, Olga Oxman, Ellen Rolfes, Virginia K. Smith, Donna Tam, and Tony Wagner. Francesca Levy is the executive director of digital and on-demand around here. I'm Kai Rizdahl. We will see you tomorrow, everybody. This is APM. With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.